Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing with your ever refined moustache?
Ever refined. I'm going for a ravishing Rick Rude / local sex pervert look, and it's at the moment
we've got
a new puppy. We've got a new puppy, lovely little lad called Sammy. I mean, absolute dream pup. But because he's not had his second load of jabs, his boosters, he can't go on the floor. So I'm walking around the local environs of the city of Southend with a puppy in my coat and this moustache. And it's not a good look. I look like I should be locked up.
So, you do.
Yeah, it's
or
a bit
sent
much.
Back but, to the 70s. Sent back in a time machine.
But that's the thing. I can't do beards, but oh, I can grow a tash. I'll keep it for a little while, I think.
I think I'm in a similar group as well. I'm the same. I don't know why.
We're
why
tash
is,
boys, aren't
why
we?
Is it like this? Yeah, why are some people just like this? Testosterone. Or not enough. You decide.
I need one of those. You get those beard rollers that have little spikes on them, and you're supposed to spike the follicles, and I think something happens, it stimulates them or angers them or something. But it's quite interesting.
I've never heard the phrase beer roller, but I'll take that.
Little beard roller, beard roller. It's like a big spiky, a weird spiky roller you put on your beard.
Very good. Well, today I've been watching the Streamy, what is it, Streamy or Streamer Awards? I don't know, I'm not a streamer. I don't know what streaming
I'm
is,
although
I did do one
today. I'm a professional streamer.
I did one with Realtor today for 2 hours. God, it was hard. How do people talk for 2 hours straight? And
I find
have
them
any
very
enthusiasm.
Exhausting.
They are, aren't they?
I did some over the World Cup. Whenever Japan played, I was doing watching the match with them, and also just doing a bit afterwards as well. But it's really tiring, like, to keep talking for that. But then I see a lot of people, and some of the most popular streamers, they just sit there for a bit and they don't feel like they have to talk, and they're quite comfortable with a bit of blank space and, like, just to sort of get on stuff. And I kind of get that. I kind of get that side of things. Like, say, speak when you want to speak, not have to. But you've got to have that kind of, you know, Premier Pete. You know, you need that kind of, like,
coffee,
being able to
drugs.
Just invent something from nothing. You know what I mean? Just have something. Like, you've got to be peppy, man. You've got to be peppy, and I'm not peppy enough.
No, you've got to have massive amounts of ADHD. Like, Pete is an inexhaustible supply of energy thanks to his ADHD.
Right.
And he's able to channel that into his videos and his streams really effectively.
Isn't everyone complaining about the lack of crank? Is Adderall that you see people some of the drugs that they take?
There's some
kind of shortage, I think, so that a lot of doctors put people on different ones. And so TikTok is just saturated with people complaining, like basically saying, I'm really tired and I don't know why. It's because they've replaced the Adderall with something different, which is fascinating. Fascinating. My mate got diagnosed and he loves it. He loves the meds. He loves the meds. Well, look, I think it's a bit of a relief when you finally get diagnosed properly with something, and then you're like, oh, I understand why I am like I am, and you know, I can medicate or you know, come up with some situation or solution. But yeah, they're having like he loves it. He absolutely loves it. it's just legal speed. I love it. I'm brilliant. It's brilliant.
I mean, I've always thought I've got attention deficit disorder, because I have a real difficulty concentrating on things that don't interest me. And well, I remember like being at school during maths classes, and for 3 years I just didn't listen. I was just like bullying my friends or having fun or just sitting there being silly. I don't remember concentrating at all. And
maybe you just didn't like maths, Christopher.
Maybe I just didn't like maths. I find it really hard to read a book. I like read a paragraph, then I start daydreaming and thinking about things, and my mind goes elsewhere.
Right.
But I found the key is to listen as an audiobook, and then it works. If I'm maybe it's the way my memory works. I need to be visually stimulated. I need to have something to look at. And when I listen to audio, I can daydream about what that looks like. Whereas when I'm looking at words on a page, I find that really difficult to do. I don't know. Maybe it's
that has been leveled at me before a few times, and because I do act in similar ways. But I think if you genuinely have a quite debilitating form of ADHD, I think it's more difficult than ever to get clinical expertise and to get ratified as someone who does have it. So it's there'll be a lot of people listening who probably should be on something but aren't, simply because I think there's a bit of a wave of doctors possibly not believing or just kind of think it's a modern millennial malaise, etc. So it's difficult.
It's the same as everyone thinking they are gluten intolerant. That's quite a common one, right? I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Even I've been there. But obviously there are lots of people that are gluten intolerant.
Don't drink 6 pints, Pete. I had 6 pints and then I vomited everywhere. It's like, yeah,
oh, good God.
6 pints.
But they say things like that have been overly sort of, it's just often a poor diet. In my case, I thought I was gluten intolerant. I wasn't. I just ate like a dreadful person. Case in point, right now, look at this. I've got a big box of Lindt chocolates and I'm sitting at my desk, munching my way through. And that is not good, but it's a good day though. Streamer awards, whatever they're called,
where
I was in two things that won. Number one, the most bestest philanthropy award, the most philanthropic
Connor won
event.
His award, didn't he?
Connor won it. That was for the cyclothon across Hokkaido,
right?
So that's awesome. And then best streamed event went to Ludwig for the chess boxing match.
So you that's hilarious, because do you not kind of wish you were involved in something that didn't mean that you had to work out for months in advance?
lesson learned. But I feel happy. Yeah. Fingers in many pies, fingers in many chess boxing and philanthropic and what. But we've got the it's good timing, because we've also got the cycle starting next week, going around Kyushu from Fukuoka to Kitakyushu. A big lap around the island of Kyushu.
You're like a steroid monster, always on and off cycles.
Got to burn off those chocolates somehow, Vee. Got to burn off those Lindt chocolates.
Yeah.
But it should be good fun, especially as the last time I went cycling around Kyushu, it was the original series of Journey Across Japan. And by that point, I was really burnt out and sick. And I'd never released half the videos we shot there, just because my presentation style amounted to a little more than just me going, and people are like, just release the videos, release them. It's like, no, there's nothing to release. It's just me looking really grumpy and depressed, more so than I normally am. But keep an eye out, guys, for that. Our story this week comes from Martin from London, who says, all right, gents, originally from Sweden, I lived in Kansai, I nearly read that as Kansas, Kansai. Why can't I say Kansai today? For a few years, in the early 2000s, I loved it. One night on a train going home from Kobe to Osaka, two obvious Yakuza members with permed tracksuits, with random cartoon print, and generally looking rather rough, sat down across from me. They had obviously been hitting the short shoe earlier, and upon seeing my European face, they started guessing where I was from. After a minute or so, I answered, Sweden. To which one of them, after a few seconds, lost deep in thought, exclaimed, oh, big cock. Didn't exactly know how to respond to that one, and wasn't sure. I liked the way the conversation was headed. What was getting... It got a bit uncomfortable at this point, and I started thinking of how to extricate myself from the situation. Luckily, the two inebriated gentlemen suddenly got off the train at the next stop. Have you had any interactions with the Yakuza during your time over there? Cheerio, Martin... from London, but also Sweden. Big cock. Very good.
I like the way that he just kind of did a few seconds deep in thought. Just sort of went, like, just imagining a big cock. Going, oh yeah, big cock. It's so funny.
Bloody hell. I haven't seen the Akaza in a while. Though, you know, if you go down to the nightlife district in Sendai, you'll always see like a very large gangsterish looking man surrounded by two bodyguard looking figures. But I don't know if I mentioned when we did the Kyoto bar last week, I was in a family mart and the till was open. One of the tills was open and the other till was shut. And there was a queue forming in the family mart. And with convenience stores in Japan, people like to get served like instantaneously. And I've seen only one of the few times I've seen people angry in Japan. There was a guy who was just angry that he was in a queue and they weren't opening up the second till. Anyway, there was a guy behind me in a suit wearing some sort of earpiece. And it was Gion, the nightlife district of Kyoto, famous for geisha, drinking bars. Obviously, a bit of a Yakuza presence going on there. and then we went out the front of Family Mart, and a few minutes later, I was with Ian and Sharla. And the guy who had not opened the till had been dragged out the Family Mart by this Yakuza dude. And the Yakuza guy was just shouting at him in front of this store, really awkwardly. And the Family Mart guy was like, oh, it's time for me to go back in now and serve customers. And this guy was like, just shouting at him and sort of forcing him back in. It was really awkward. In the end, Ian sort of walked over and tried to, like, separate the Yakuza man, this sort of thuggish prick, from the attendant. But the Yakuza guy just sort of waved him off, like, no, fuck off, kind of thing. But luckily, three policemen came running down the street in the nick of time. Apparently, the Family Mart, they looked straight past the Yakuza and arrested Ian. Yeah. He's in prison right now.
Got the big hook out.
But clearly someone at Family Mart, one of the other people working there, did raise the alarm and whatnot. But
right.
Yeah, it's a rare thing, though. I hadn't seen anything like that in a long time. And I didn't know what to do. You kind of don't know what to do, but luckily he didn't punch the guy in the face, and the Family Mart guy left relatively unscathed. And then there was the guy, this Yakuza guy, was so pissed that he started taking on like the three police officers like some sort of Terminator.
Good stuff.
Yakuza Terminator. You don't mess with these guys, they won't fuck off. But I did get him on camera, and I was tempted to go on Twitter and be like, look, it's the Yakuza, but I didn't want to. I don't know, that's going to open a Pandora's box of
Trick
shit
over.
I'll send it to Pete Dawson, and he can take the rap next time he comes over.
I'll wiki leak it. You know, like that Swedish guy who said, the Yakuza who sort of got deep into thought and went, oh, big cock. while you would tell that story about Ian and the Yakuza.
You were thinking of that way.
I sort of drifted off a little bit because I've just remembered that big I cock. Left three cream eggs in my car.
Brilliant.
I've got three Cadbury's cream eggs in my car that I forgot about, and I've not had my second cup of coffee this morning, and I've just remembered I've got three fucking cream eggs in my car.
And they're going to melt. They're all going to be melted.
Come on. It's like winning the fucking lottery, Chris. Forget your blooming national lottery. Forget your good causes. Forget that big finger that bricks through your window and goes, it's you. It's me, because I've got three cream eggs in my car that I've just remembered.
I hope they've all melted, or your partner has eaten them all. Yes.
It's like -3 out there. No way.
Cream eggs? I love cream eggs, but they've always like exploded whenever I open them, and the wrapper's all sticky and horrible. It's like peeling off glue. It's like shit.
I saw a man on a train, and he had a cream egg, right? And he had a piece of kitchen roll, and he was very carefully just jam it in your mouth. Two bites maximum. He was just sort of like nibbling and getting it all over his mouth. Oh. And it was all over his fingers, and he just took too long about it. But he had this bit of kitchen roll he's wiping his hands on. It was absolutely disgusting. So in summary, just get it in your gob, silly. That should be the slogan.
I remember there was an advertising campaign for cream eggs on how the different people like to eat them. Some people like stuck a chip
how
in
do you eat yours?
Some people lick it out like in this really crass way. The man on the train doing like whatever that was.
Eyeballing your friend.
That would have been great. Yeah. That would have been a great
like
little
that?
Segment. I do like cream eggs,
horrible.
Though. Actually, when I did the bar, somebody did come down and give me some cream eggs, so it was worth the trip.
Give
to
me some cream
for
eggs.
That alone. Good stuff. Lovely. Well, we've got a story about crime, Pete. What's going on in Japan this week? Fill us in on the latest crime that makes quite a bizarre sort of quite a bizarre news story, to be honest, that I can't wrap my head around.
Sort of news story, it's a sort of news story that I sort of think, and I'll preempt it by sort of saying, if you can do it, I think you should be allowed to do it. That's all I'm saying. If you've got the skills to do it, I think you should be allowed to do it. Five people have been arrested and four referred to prosecutors for their alleged involvement in the unauthorised cultivation of Japanese killifish, genetically modified to glow red.
Oh, God.
The fish originating from eggs taken from a Tokyo Institute of Technology lab by a student. And you're really not allowed to genetically modify living organisms. You're just not allowed to do it, thanks to a law called the Cartagena Law, which came into force in 2004. Japanese killifish of different colours and shapes have become popular as aquarium fish, and police have seized around 1,400 genetically modified Japanese killifish from related sites and confirmed that in one case, yes, two fish had been sold for as much as 100,000 yen.
Wow,
some have already been disposed
right?
of. Someone's having a bit of killifish supper. Police said there's no danger to biodiversity, but a 35-year-old former student and a 60-year-old company employee called Noji Aoki was suspected of transporting and breeding genetically modified Japanese killifish in 2002. Incredible. Like, and some men, because they think the noose is about, you know, the net is about to close on them, have thrown some of them in the river as well.
What
in an irrigation channel. Nightmare. Absolutely nightmare-ish. You can't be doing that. You just can't be doing that.
What's the problem here that you're not allowed to genetically alter the fish?
Yeah, I think presumably you need a license to genetically alter stuff, and presumably the university or however these first came about, they had that license maybe. But either way, people have become in receipt of these illegally genetically modified fish, which is incredible that this. But as I said, if they could do it, I reckon you should be allowed to do it. If you can figure out how to fucking genetically modify a fucking fish to make it glow red, I think you should be allowed personally.
No, because then where does it stop? Fluorescent horses? Like, you've got to have,
you've got to
put your foot down somewhere, Pete.
Explain to me what the problem is with a fluorescent horse. You can see them better in the dark. Horse rustling would be a thing of the past. Get with it, Chris. Welcome to the 2020s.
It is very, like, Blade Runner-esque news story, but not quite the sort of
not quite as Blade
exciting
Runner-ish.
Artificial intelligence glamour of Blade Runner. Like, the original Blade Runner was set in 2019. It was about androids taking over. This is a genetically modified fish that glows slightly red. It's not
right.
It's not quite the future we envisioned or wanted, is it? Or maybe it is for you.
Yeah.
God, bloody
hell. I just want a glowing red horse, and it would be, like, the best horse in all of Skyrim or The Witcher.
Somebody out there listening to the podcast. We've had some really interesting listeners over the years. We've had people from, like, NASA listening in. There's got to be a scientist out there, a wacky scientist somewhere, who's willing to make Pete Donaldson's dreams come true.
Give me a
actually,
luminous
please
horse.
Don't do it.
I'm tired of painting rave fluorescent paint on my horses.
The Abroad in Japan podcast does not endorse the creation of genetically modified
horses.
Half
of it does.
Half of it.
Genetically modified. I'll splice the genus myself. Hand me that knife.
Dear Lord. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, Betty Cole, to the place I adore. Hi, Chris and Charlotte. What? I'm confused.
Not only Charlotte.
I've just realised that Charlotte is Charlotte. Sorry, yeah.
Not only did Pete get called Charlotte, he also messed up Charlotte as Charlotte.
I got very confused. I plan to return to Japan, says Ben, and I eventually want to live here with Kyoto in mind. Kyoto's on my mind, as it seems so beautiful. Can you give any advice to an English person wanting to move to Japan? I've thought about jet. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But I don't want to end up in the arse end of somewhere. Appreciate the advice, Ben Cole. Could you not just apply for jet, and then if they send you somewhere shit, go, no dice, baby.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I know people have done it.
Just go, fuck
just
you.
Do that, Ben. Just
you want a piece
that.
Of this? You send me to Tokyo or nothing. You want a piece of me?
I met a guy the other day.
To where I want to go.
I met a guy who was on one of the islands south of Tokyo the other day. Right. Not the Ogasawara Islands, not that far south. They're about an hour south of Tokyo on a hydrofoil in the bay. And
nice.
He's a really nice guy, but he was very witty about the way he revealed where he was. He got a map of Tokyo out on his phone and was like, guess where I am in Tokyo? And we spent 10 minutes pointing ever increasingly desperately at different points of Tokyo. And he's like, nope, not there. And
not
so
there.
I think in the end, I did work it out that, oh, he's done this because Tokyo can mean the island south of Tokyo, right? Just out in the Pacific. And he was like, yes, correct. really nice guy. But he lives on this island. What was it called? It was a really cool looking place. It's got a big volcano on it. Apparently they eat fish there all day, genetically modified. Killifish for all.
The killifish, yeah.
Killifish. I think it's, oh, here it is, Oshima.
Oshima. Ooh.
And it's a couple of hours south.
If it's got
south.
A mat in it, it's usually got a volcano in it.
That's right, it does. It's basically just one big volcano with a village on. It looks really cool, but couldn't imagine living there. It's only got a population of 7,000 people, but he loved it, and he was like, should I make a YouTube channel? And I was like, yes, do it. There's people like him living in these amazing places in Japan, but you never see them because nobody ever does any videos. I'm like, come on, this is an amazing chance, mate. Like, you could be like Japan Islander, the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Just go wild, do it. But I do want to go there and have a look around, poke around, but I'm not really sure what there is other than a volcano. But it does look cool.
Well, that guy, you know that guy now. He can show you around.
I do.
Show you all the best places.
Still waiting for him to drop me a line. We've got a story here from Matt. I did say to him, drop me a message. Let's do it. Hasn't happened. He probably thought it was one of those British where we're like, oh yeah, we'll have to meet up next week or something. And you go, yeah. And then nothing happens.
That's never going to bug it up, mate.
Hyperspicious Chris and Cognizant Chris. Wait, what? What's perspicious mean?
Perspicacious.
Why am I reading this out? Hello, Pete and Chris. Big words,
sweating?
Too big for me. Visiting Japan for the first time, and I would like to hear your experiences with clothes. Shopping.
Oh, with clothes.
Clothes shopping versus Japan.
Clearly
in
expressed
the West.
And easily understood. Lucid.
Ah, you are quite well understood.
I'd say that.
Am I cognizant?
Oh, I'm not. You've heard me speak. I stumble on my words. Just
not as bad as I did, trying to say
my
the
brain's
word
a hedge mage.
What's the experience shopping in Japan versus the West, specifically as I am a somewhat tall and lean man, 6'2", 165 pounds.
I'm wondering
if oh no, oh the Yakuza have a field day.
Oh, big cock.
That's a soundbite. I'm waiting to be robbed of context. I'm wondering if I'm
put on your website.
My well-being or my being well above the average height of a Japanese male means my efforts to stop shylessly.
Basically,
would it be a problem shopping?
Yeah, I'm too big for clothes.
New Orleans. It would be a problem. I'm not tall. I'm not 6 foot tall, but I cannot get shoes to fit for the life of me. I have to go home to London and buy them all there and ship them back in a box. The shoe size in Japan stops at like 27, 28, and I'm annoyingly 29.5 centimetres. So footwear, big problem. What size shoes are you?
I'm an 8. I'm only little, aren't I?
I'm 10.
Baby size.
Look at me. Oh.
I reckon I'm probably just a 7.5, but try buying them in football boots. Try buying 7.5 bloody size football boots, I tell you what.
But Matt, I think you will have a problem, honestly, it is quite difficult. If you're tall, then you're a rarity, and it's going to be a problem. Basically, just buy your clothes before coming to Japan, especially shoes. We've got one more here from Miho McCarthy. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. Thank you, Miho. No difficult adjectives to battle my way through here. My name is Miho McCarthy. I'm originally from Nara, but I moved to the UK more than 20 years ago. My question is, what would you miss from Japan if you were to leave for good? Miho. I would miss, Miho, just the sense of adventure that comes from living in Japan. Like, when I was back in the UK just driving around, it was a bit like, there's a farm there and a hill. With Japan, it's just exciting. There's mountains and rivers and streams. And I suppose we have that in the UK. But we don't have mountains, not of the size and scale of Japan. And the geography and the topography of Japan is very exciting. There's a constant sense of discovery, like you don't know what you're going to find over the next hill. And then in the south, you have all the islands of the inland sea, where people live in these sleepy fishing villages for hundreds of years and nobody meets them. Like, Japan feels a lot bigger than it is. And I don't know, I just feel there's an epic sense of discovery that I don't get living or being in the UK. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I would say there's recency bias, but you're witnessing something that's very different to your homeland. But like you've been there for a long time, and if you're still getting excited by it, that's a good vibe, isn't it? That's a good deal.
It is a weird. Well, I've been thinking about this recently. You know, I always thought by this point I'd be like, "Well, Japan, boring," but that's not the case. I still get pretty excited. I think it helps that I'm still not the best at Japanese, because I'm learning new words every day still and seeing places that are awesome. But I don't know, it's kind of reassuring in some respects. At the same time, I used to move every 3 years, and I haven't done that in a while, and I certainly feel the pressure to move and level up and do something new. And I think that's why it's a good time to move to Tokyo as well in the next few months. But for the love of God, the amount of questions I keep getting about the studio. What's going to happen to the studio? What are you going to do? Just going to leave it, aren't I?
What are you going
to
do?
Going to leave
what
it in a room,
do, Chris.
Going to just burn it.
You can rent it out to people who need it in Sendai. Burn it. The I very much enjoyed the fact that people, Tom in particular on Twitter, sent me a picture. I was talking about things you'd miss in Japan. Obviously, mine would be coolish, but Tom has created a horrific couple of sort of officially licensed Abroad in Japan coolishes. Have you seen these on Twitter? They're pretty strong stuff.
No. Where's this?
There's a condensed milk flavour of coolish, which you put your face over the top of it, and they've called that one disappointment. Abroad in Japan, disappointment, and then the melon flavour one, they put a coolish despair, and your face is on the bottle, and it's good stuff.
Oh,
it's
that's cool.
Thank you very much.
The track was down. When was this? Yeah. When did this come in?
I don't know. They CC'd you in. It was about 18, 19 hours ago. Hello to
Paulus. Ever since that win that Connor won the award, I've been bombarded with messages. Twitter's not very good for when things happen. You've got to sift through a lot of things.
It's a real mess, stuff. Isn't it, at the moment? Like, just weird things are like.
Who's taken it over? Who's ruined it? Sure, find out in the next episode.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's a bit messy these days. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't yet seen it, guys, we've got a new episode, long awaited, of Wacky Weekend featuring Sea Dog VA. We went to Kyushu. It's a good one. We've got a ghost town in it. We've got a love hotel with a dinosaur. It's good stuff. It's quality viewing. Go and check it out. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll be right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.